This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And with you for one more hour on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I got alongside special co-host Dan Durbin, who won the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in that co-host chair, and Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass. And you can get in on the show. You want to react to a Bears heartbreaking loss to the Commanders, 18-15 on a Hail Mary off the arm of Jaden Daniels. 312-644-6767. Some text to read, couple people waiting on hold, and we will get right to you. Also to come on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Mullion Haw, Brad Biggs joins the guys at 640, Olin Kreutz at 7, and DJ Moore at 8. That's just to start a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on The Score as they break this thing down, put it back together, and break it down again and try and figure out how this game played out exactly the way that it played out. 312-644-6767. Got a text here from the 773. It says, worst thing to see while the ball was in the air was all the Bears bunched up in one spot. That's Patrick from Gage Park, who also adds Tyrese was the one that high pointed it. How all of them tried is beyond me. Yeah, it would seem like if you've never played football before, you would think, well, yeah, everybody's gonna jump for the ball. That's what you're supposed to do there. No, that's actually not that's not everyone's assignment. Certain guys are supposed to jump up and try and hit the ball. Other guys are supposed to stand behind the bunch that's jumping up to tip the ball to make sure that someone else doesn't catch it on the tip. Like that, something went terribly wrong there for that play to play out the way that it did, and for that receiver to be standing behind the tip line alone the way that he was. Something broke down and went terribly wrong. Maybe it was Tariq Stevenson because he was drawing and celebrating before the ball was snapped, but something went wrong and somebody wasn't where they were supposed to be. That much we know.
Yeah, just think about in basketball, boxing out. It's that simple. Make sure you're in a position to be able to get it, not just block it.
You know, I questioned myself earlier when I said that the Bears have not been the first team to score in all seven games, and then I corrected myself and said it was five of seven games. I was actually right. From the 815, recheck your stats. Bears opponents have scored first in all seven games this year, not five out of the seven. That's mind-boggling. And you can't tell me that that's not something that is systemic, that that is something that is foundational, that is wrong with this offense, that they haven't been able to get this thing going in a first quarter of a football game.
And, you know, we haven't talked about the fact that we didn't get a turnover.
Not one turnover. Which, I mean, you can't expect one every game.
No, you can't.
The Bears have been so good. That defense has been so good at taking the football away that you might say, well, they were due for a game where they don't get a takeaway.
That's
you know
fair.
What I mean?
That's fair.
But it would have gone a long way. Would have gone a long way to get one of those in this game. There's always built-in excuses with this organization. It's like they accept mediocrity from the 773. That's how I feel sometimes. Like, I almost feel like I'm going against the current to have expectations sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, when I talk about this thing not being as far along as it should be in year three, week eight of Ryan Poles' rebuild, I get a lot of pushback on that of, oh, you got to have patience, blah, blah, blah. I do feel like sometimes I'm fighting against the current to even have expectations for the Bears as an organization. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, particularly when you're in a division where you see someone like Green Bay who somehow pulls out three quarterbacks in a row like it's nothing. And so it's not like we're don't have examples of that throughout the NFL. And so it would be nice to be more like average instead of less than average.
That would be cool. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to River Forest and get in. Mark, you're on 670 The Score. What do you got on this one, Mark?
Yeah, I just want to say, I don't know if you remember when the Bulls were 88-89 when they got rid of Collins because they wanted to get to the next level.
Yes.
That's what the Bears, man. This guy is not a good head coach. He's more like a preschool teacher. I mean, the thing that Stevenson did was totally reprehensible. I mean, you can't do that. You didn't win anything. Why are you jawing with these fans? You know, I mean, he doesn't hold anybody responsible for anything. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
You need someone like a... I mean, Belichick would never put up with that. I mean, someone that's... I mean, I never seen anything like that before. Anything that goes on there. These are three games that he's lost where it was a 98% chance the Bears were going to win those, and they lost.
Yeah, somebody brought that up earlier. Thanks for the call, Matt. I appreciate it. This is the third or fourth game of Eberflus's tenure where they had a 95%+ chance win probability and ended up losing the game. Late in the game, had a 95% win probability and ended up losing. That's damning for a coach. That's an indictment against that dude.
You know, and going on from Eberflus, I have to admire what he just said about the fact that Doug Hollins for, you know, Jackson and then Dave Ross for Craig Console. I mean, we do have examples of moving on from somebody to somebody else.
But you know what? Like if they do move on from Eberflus after this year and they hire the right guy and they get this thing right, at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But as we sit here today and talking about that, I just feel like you're wasting a year of Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? And wasting, or at least not getting the most out of his rookie year in terms of his development and growth as a quarterback. If we're not really going to start that process till year two, when you make that decision to go from the bridge head coach and Matt Eberflus to whoever the guy is, like, you should have pulled that plug a year ago. You should have pulled that trigger a year ago instead of sitting here wasting a year of this guy. If it turns out that Matt Eberflus is not the coach that's going to take you where you're trying to go, or Ryan Poles decides after this year that Matt Eberflus is not the coach that's going to get you where you want this thing to go, why did you waste a year to figure that out? Why? When a lot of us kind of knew, or at the very least, we were sitting here with some serious doubts and questions about this guy going into year three of his tenure. You shouldn't have those about a head coach going into year three of their tenure. That shouldn't happen.
It was universal doubts about Eberflus.
Yes. A text from the 773. Defensive coach Flus failed to call the right play on the last two defensive plays, the two most critical defensive calls of his career. How does a defensive head coach not know how to call those last two defensive plays? That's Patrick from Gage Park chiming in. Yeah, man, that's the thing that kills me about the play before the Hail Mary and his answer to why they weren't defending the sidelines. Tyler, do we have that? Just the answer to that question about the play before the Hail Mary where he said you're defending touchdown there from 68 yards away. You're defending touchdown. And if you do the math of being 68 yards away and dropping back 7 to 10 yards, you're going to be 75 to 80 yards away from the end zone by the time Jaden Daniels tries to put the ball up in the air. That's not going to happen. That's not a thing that you need to defend. But here's Matt Eberflus. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we had it. Matt Eberflus says we're defending touchdown there. No, man, you're defending sideline. Tony Romo was sitting there going, what you want to do here? What you want to do here, Dick? Screaming. What you want to do here is attack the sideline and make this a manageable Hail Mary. Like, he screams so loud, Matt Eberflus could probably hear it from the box down on the sideline, and Matt Eberflus doesn't know that. He doesn't know that that's what they're trying to do. How? How does he? Here's Matt Eberflus explaining.
Yeah, that second to last play before Hail Mary, 13-yard strike, they get out of bounds in 2 seconds. Are you preparing that play for them to run some kind of shots at the end zone laterally, or is that something where you're? How do you look back on that spot?
Yeah, because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a 2-second play to the last play, and we got to execute on that one.
No, dude, no. No. They're not throwing a Hail Mary from there. How do you not know the game situation?
You know, he had Daniels had bad ribs, no question about that. And even when he got closer, I think the ball was tipped like at the 1 yard line. It was tipped back in the end
zone. He still didn't get it in the end zone from where they were.
Right.
And that was everything he had. That was every bit of juice that he could put on that football. And it still didn't get into the end zone. They still had to tip it back.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Here's a text that just came in. Having Flus coaching Caleb is like having Vinny Del Negro coaching Derrick Rose. That's Adrian in Oceanside, California.
Wow.
Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect. Let's go to Matt from the north side. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Matt?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
Getting the number one quarterback is a good thing, but if you go out and hire inexperienced coaches, mediocre coaches, you can destroy a quarterback before he really gets started. And that's what happened to this young man. You know, they are no better off than they had when they had Justin Fields. Fix this offensive line and move on and get some experienced coach. What kind of experience do Matt Eberflus have to lead a number one quarterback? I thank you for taking my call. I hang up.
Appreciate you making the call. Yeah, I don't think my question coming at three questions about the Bears coming into this year was the offensive line. What do we have in Shane Waldron? And is Matt Eberflus an NFL head coach, much less the right coach, for a quarterback taken with the number one pick in the draft? And to this point, none of those three questions are really getting answered to my satisfaction, especially the last one, after what we saw in that game yesterday. To come out as unprepared, sloppy, lackadaisical, I forgot the other two adjectives, it's almost 5 in the morning.
Inexcusable.
Undisciplined. There we go.
Unaware.
There are the 5. There are the 5 adjectives that describe the Bears and how they lost that game yesterday. From the 630, his answer alone about not protecting the sidelines with under 10 seconds to go is reason enough to fire him. I don't know if that one answer to that one question is reason enough to fire him, but it's indicative of his lack of game situation awareness in these situations where you need your coach to have that. Last year, we had the entire spring and summer to prepare for the Packers in the first game. We got smoked. We just had 2 weeks to prepare for Washington, and we looked absolutely terrible until the fourth quarter. Yeah, man, this guy, there's a pattern of him having enough time to have his teams prepared for big games. You know what I mean? Like the texter brings up the opener against the Packers last year. Coming into last year, we were all like, okay, here we go. Packers week one. This is a new day. Turn the page. And they came out and absolutely got their asses kicked. And then this week, they get flexed into the primetime game. You have Daniels versus Williams, 1-2. Two teams that are in the playoff hunt, making that leap into relevance, and you come out and look like that? Like, there's just no excuse for it whatsoever, man. There's no excuse whatsoever for the way the Bears came out in that game. Yep. It drives me crazy. And again, for the third time, I am done with Matt Eberflus. I'm done with that dude. The head coach just showed his cards on why he's not the head coach of the future with that explanation. Yup. He just doesn't understand game situations, and he's continually dropping the ball in crucial, crucial game situations. Not to mention, he hired Shane Waldron, who has done very little to instill a lot of confidence in me about him as an offensive coordinator. There's just so much about this that is not where it should be by this point in the quote-unquote rebuild of the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. Still time to get your thoughts in on an 18-15 loss on a Hail Mary to the Commanders. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score, and that is presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Brad Biggs joins Mully and Hall coming up at 640. Olin Kreutz at 7. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We'll continue to take your calls along with Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in the co-host chair tonight. 312-644-6767. I'd also like to hear what Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley thought about this one on the post-game show. We'll bring you a little bit of that next, coming up right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And so much going on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. I told you, Brad Biggs, 640, Olin Kreutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, all with Mully and Haw. Midday show has the Bears covered too. Anthony Heron joins Bernstein and Harris at 11, Mark Schlereth at 12, and Dan Wiederer at 1. And then on the afternoon with Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Rohde at 4, and Jalen Johnson at 5. So keep it locked right there on 670 The Score, or The Score on your totally free, handy-dandy Odyssey app, and listen all day long as we try and figure out how this thing went wrong with the Bears and the Commanders. Bears fall 18-15 on the Hail Mary. Plenty of time to get your calls, your text in at 312-644-6767 with me, Rami Makhlouf, and special co-host for the morning, Dan Durbin, who won the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in that co-host chair. And been a pleasure to have him here, doing a great, great job this morning talking some Bears with me and with you, including Patrick, who's on the south side. Now Patrick is on 670 The Score. What's up, Pat?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened in that game, at the end of that game, that I don't know why I mentioned about. First of all, I can say you're right. They didn't guard the sidelines. That's ridiculous. I don't know how you not do that. And then before the play even happened, before you even tossed the ball, did you see that the refs kept those flags in their pocket? They didn't make no sense. There were at least two holes, and the last one was a blatant block in the back, and they did not even call it. You could see it. They got to bump the guy off, and they didn't even call it. They kept the flag in their pocket. And Tyree Stevenson probably had his worst game of the year, okay? He really did, because he got beat earlier in the play. Remember earlier in that he got beat on a 40-yard play or something?
Yes, I do remember that.
Play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the tip. How do you tip the ball in the end zone? He let the guy get behind him. His head was not in the game. Yeah, that guy just backed off and just stood back there while everybody else looked for the ball. First of all, you don't tip the ball. Anytime you have a tip play, it's usually going to be trouble. Anytime the ball gets tipped, it's usually trouble. You're supposed to knock the ball down. You knock it down. And why? I mean, Hail Mary, how can you have your tallest players there? Well, you got all your the shorter players in the end zone for Hail Mary.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter offense or defense. You got to have your tallest guys out there, your biggest guys. They knock that ball down.
Yeah, we had a caller. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Patrick. We had a caller earlier who brought up Bill Belichick, who would send Randy Moss back there, or other big receivers that he had back there. And the Bears did not do that. And yeah, they have smaller corners when you look at the tape measure of their backfield. They do have smaller guys, and I wouldn't have hated seeing a Keenan Allen back there or a DJ Moore or a Cole Kmet. Some of your bigger guys that can high point that thing and knock it down and not let them tip it up in the air. So
yeah.
that's another thing that Matt Eberflus and his staff could have done that maybe doesn't have us sitting here talking about a loss on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday.
The most underutilized person was Cole Kmet the whole game.
Yes. I mean, the guy can long snap, for crying out loud.
Yes, he can.
Can't put him back there on a Hail Mary to bat the ball down?
Come on.
He can do that. That is something that he is very capable of doing.
To Dan's point, you should make an effort, like anytime you are inside the 20-yard line, one play, at minimum one play, looking Cole Kmet's way. Mm-hmm. Last year, he proved to you he is as reliable as anybody in the NFL inside the 20-yard line.
From the 785 to that effect. 2F and Q. Just keep things simple. That's on you, Fluce. And that's not going to Cole Kmet. That's 4th and 1, throwing a wide receiver screen to DJ Moore. That's 4th and 1 or 3rd and 1 from the goal line, handing the ball off to Doug Kramer. You're being too cute, man. You're being too cute. Just get the yard. You know what I mean? Just get the yard and do the basics of being an NFL head coach. Stop. You're not even doing that. You're not even doing the very simplest, most basic things that you need to do as an NFL head coach, and yet you want to get cute and creative in the most in the most crucial situations over the course of 4 quarters. Yeah. You want to hand the ball off to an offensive lineman at the 1 yard line with the game on the line.
And I was offended that Eberflus kept saying how, but it's only 1 yard. It's only 1 yard. The implication is any one of us in this room could make that yard. No, and that's not true.
He said that's a 1 yard play.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing. So that's not a game breaker. You weren't handing the ball off to Doug Kramer to rip off a big one. Okay, cool. Thanks for telling me that was a 1 yard play. Really appreciate that, Coach. Great insight. Thanks a lot. From the 785, Kramer looked up as a lineman setting up his blocks, but handles the handoff not like Swift would have. Yeah, man, he doesn't know how to take a handoff. He's not a lineman. The caller alluded to some questionable calls from the referees on that Hail Mary from the 785. There had to be holding on that last Hail Mary play on the O-line. Yeah, probably holding, probably a block in the back. But you know what? Don't have 36 yards of offense in the first half. And maybe we're not talking about the refs. Don't be dancing in the back of the end zone before the ball is snapped. And maybe we're not talking about the ref. Don't defend the middle of the field instead of the sideline on the play before the Hail Mary. And maybe we're not talking about the refs. The Bears lost this football game. All right, we can talk about refs if you want. I'll do that with you. 312-644-6767. Bottom line is, they didn't play good enough to win. They didn't play good enough to win that game yesterday. The Bears have nobody to blame but themselves.
And as for flags in the pocket, why don't you ask Sam Darnold in his last game on the last play, yeah, trying to get out with the face mask is pulled and they don't make the call. Don't blame refs.
There are much more egregious missed calls or bad calls by referees than what we saw against the Bears today. And I don't like it. Like, you in the NBA a lot, when there's like a it's the last seconds and it's a game-winning shot, they say referees swallow their whistle. I don't like it. Like, the rules should be the rules from tip-off to the buzzer. But the same thing kind of applies for Hail Marys in the NFL. They're going to let guys get away with stuff. They're going to let offensive linemen grab a little bit. They're going to let DBs get a little bit more physical as they're jumping up in the air and jockeying for position to bat that ball down. They do swallow their whistles to a degree on a Hail Mary, as long as it's not something that's egregious. And I don't know that we can necessarily say the holding that they missed or the block in the back that they missed on that Hail Mary was egregious. And even if it was, don't put yourself in that position by playing terrible football for 3.5 quarters, especially on the offensive side. Don't do that.
Amen.
Let's go to Darren from Indy. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Darren?
Well, I got you on that holding call. That's probably right, what you're saying. But our O-line, man, they got to do better. But, you know, that ball is not getting into the end zone. So even if you just stand there to catch it, but you see them all run out of that end zone, and I'm thinking, man, backyard football 101, where in the hell are they going? I mean, you know, you're leaving him right in the end zone. You saw it coming. It was unbelievable. He could have just stood there on the 2-yard line and come right to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to tip it, but two of them tipped it. But, like, why didn't they maybe just try to catch it? But you're right, you know, an offensive guy in that got some hands. But it's incredible, isn't it? I'll be 60 in February, and that may have cut 10 years off my life.
I hope not. I appreciate the call, Darren. I hope that didn't shave any time off your time here on Earth. But it's a gut-wrenching type of loss. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to feel good about that game. Either way, that game specifically, But at least if you come out with the win, you're going, all right, four-game win streak, two very winnable games on the schedule coming up. You could go into the back half of that hellish schedule with 7-2. You know what I mean? You're giving yourself a lot of cushion, a lot of margin for error if that second half of the season doesn't go that great. Not only did you not set yourself up for that, now you're 4-3, and the Commanders are a game and a half ahead of you. Should this come down to some kind of tiebreaker in the wild card, they have that over you too because of the head-to-head win.
Excellent point.
It's a brutal loss. It's a brutal loss for a number of reasons. I would have felt okay about it if they could have pulled off the win, but I wasn't going to feel great about this game no matter how that ball landed on that final play. If it landed on the turf or it landed in somebody's hands, I wasn't going to feel all that great about the way that the Bears played football for four quarters today in D.C. Let's go to Terry. He's in Janesville, Wisconsin. Now he's on 670 The Score. What's up, Terry?
Morning. Hey, I've been listening since midnight, and I wanted to make brief comments about three things that you guys have talked about. First of all, Matt Eberflus, as a leader of men, will never compete and beat Dan Campbell or LaFleur or probably the guy in Minnesota as well. Secondly, you brought up some interesting stats about running backs that we could have had and how they've affected their team's rushing attacks as opposed to how Swift has affected ours.
Yeah.
I would remind us that last year we had Justin Fields at quarterback, and Justin's presence affected the opposing defense in a significant way that opened up running lanes that aren't there this year because he's not there.
That's fair.
So I would say that Swift, even being even, deserves a lot of credit for that because we know how good the offensive line is. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you questioned or asked between Williams and Shane and Fields and Getsy, you know, who is better, so to speak. And I would bring out the fourth quarter, and I think somebody did earlier. Williams, I don't know how many turnovers we've had this year in the fourth quarter, but we know how many we had last year. And what is Williams or the quarterback's rating this year as opposed to what Justin's rating was last year just in the fourth quarter?
How many games did that cost us? That's a fair point. That's a good point and a fair point and one area where they have improved. I appreciate the call. I would say though that a lot of that improvement in the fourth quarter is just having a guy back there who's better. You know what I mean? That fourth quarter improvement, I don't necessarily chalk it up to Shane Waldron over Luke Getsy. You know what I mean? I don't chalk it up to Shane Waldron over Matt Nagy. That's just a guy in the fourth quarter who knows how to put the team on his back and lead a drive to take a lead in a football game. And that's something that I think that's just more about how Caleb Williams is wired.
Yep.
Versus Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky prior to him. I don't know that it necessarily indicates something systemic or foundational that's better about the Bears and their offense than what we've seen here in recent incarnations.
And we've said that throughout the show. We are Caleb fans, and we know he's going to be the right person. It is Caleb's progress in a rookie year that allows him to be the fourth quarter man. Absolutely.
From the 785, Tariq Stevenson needs to be benched at the very least. At the very least. What's at the very most? What are we doing to him if benching is the very least? I don't even want to go down that road.
Should we refer to that Friday roster, you know, transaction with Blasingame and Velus Jones? Maybe
you're not cutting Tariq Stevenson.
No. I'm okay. You know, throwing out there's a minor joke, but I mean, what else would you try to imply from that?
I mean, I do agree there has to be some kind of accountability or repercussions because that was just dumb. Like, it was just dumb. And that was the second really dumb thing that he did in that game and didn't play great in that game to begin with. But, like, if you're benching Tariq Stevenson, who's next up on the depth chart? And are you as good of a defense? Like, if you want to do that thing where you're like, you're not starting and he sits on the bench for the first play or the first drive, like, okay, maybe that sends a message, but Tariq Stevenson is out there for a reason, man. He's a pretty damn good cornerback to have opposite of Jalen Johnson. Did some stupid crap out there on the football field today, but he's still pretty good. So I don't know what the accountability is. I feel like if you bench him, or worse, because benching is the least you could do. But if you bench him, or worse, are you going to be a better football team out there in terms of the 11 that you throw? I don't think you are.
I mean, I'm trying to think of these other options. I'm thinking of Jalen Jones, Josh Blackwell. I'm trying to think of who else you could slot in that other corner, because his role has not changed, right? Even though Brisker and Gordon have been hurt, he is still that other outside corner outside of Jalen Johnson. So it's not like his role is going to change regardless of who's in and out of the lineup.
And especially we don't know if Kyler Gordon is going to be back. You're gonna bench Tariq Stevenson and you don't even have Kyler Gordon back there?
Right. When's Gordon coming back?
I don't think you can, man. I don't like, maybe the accountability is just like a good talking to and film breakdown. There has to be something, but you're cutting off your nose despite your face. I feel like if you bench Tariq Stevenson for what he did out there tonight or last night.
I think on the plane ride back home, he had plenty of accountability from applied to him from the rest of the teammates. This isn't high school. Don't bench him. Move on.
Let's get one more call in before the break. We'll go to George, who's on the south side. George, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I mean, it was unlucky, fortunate day for the Bears, you know, to have the game like that. Kind of feel like the bye week affected kind of the rhythm of the offense, you know. They could have played much better. I mean, compared to how they were playing before the bye. And we could have really beat this team, you know, we would play a lot better. I was wondering, what do you think? You think the Bears would be able to make a blockbuster trade, like Crosby or Garrett or something like that, to help the defense out?
George, I appreciate the call. I'm having a hard time hearing him. I think he asked at the end about a blockbuster trade for a Myles Garrett or somebody like that. I kicked that around on Saturday. Diana Rossini in The Athletic had an article about the six trades that should happen. She wasn't saying that, you know, there's any smoke to this fire that these teams are talking, just trades she'd like to see happen. And she had the Bears getting Myles Garrett for 2 first-round picks.
Whoa.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That screams similar to Ryan Pace trading away 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack.
That's what I said. That's what I said, yeah, when I was talking about it. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Remind me, the trading deadline is when?
Two weeks, right?
Yeah, November 5th.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
312-644-6767 with you for one more segment, taking you right up to Mully and Haw on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. I'm Rami Maclaw, special co-host for the morning, Dan Durbin. He won it in the Cubs for a Cure auction. And Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass. And we'll take more of your reaction to a heartbreaking Bears loss on a Hail Mary at the end of regulation against the Commanders right after this on Score Overnights right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Maclaw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Last segment here on Score Overnights on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Maclaw, my special guest co-host for the day, Dan Durbin, who won this in the Cubs for a Cure auction. Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass in just a couple more minutes to get your calls, your text in at 312-644-6767. And Bears fans will have a chance to get things off their chance all day long on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. And listen, others get stuff off their chest all day long on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. That can be therapeutic as well. Mully and Haw just around the corner with Brad Biggs and Olin Kreutz joining those guys at 640 and 7. DJ Moore joins Mully and Haw at 8, just part of a jam-packed lineup on a Football Monday here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score after a heartbreaking 18-15 loss to the Commanders on a Hail Mary. Somebody asked a good question, another question, as it pertains to Matt Eberflus in the text line from the 309. Why did we not call a timeout before the Hail Mary to go over assignments?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had another one. I think you had two or all three of your timeouts at that point, and you didn't need them for anything, like use them or lose them at that point. Why not call a timeout and make sure you got all your ducks in a row and maybe say, hey, Tariq, wait till after the game to talk to Commanders fans or to celebrate. Like, whatever you got to do to go over assignments and make sure everybody has their head in the game at the end there on the Hail Mary is it's not a bad idea. What else are you going to do with that timeout?
But in Eberflus's postgame comments, well, we practice it.
Oh, well then. No need to make sure, right? You practiced it. You also practiced handing the ball off to an offensive lineman at the one-yard line. How'd that work out for you? I'm sure you've also practiced, you know, not scoring in the first quarter all season. You probably practiced that. Did you do it? You could try doing it in the game. That's another good point. That's another very good point. Let's go to John, who's in Memphis. He's listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Johnny?
All right, how you doing this morning?
Good. Well, been better. But
all right. Me too. First of all, I want to start out by saying I want Ryan Poles to start doing his homework, preparing for next season, finding a new HC. Also, these slow starts, we will never win another game this season if we keep having these slow starts, stinking up the joint. How do you come off a bye week and not be prepared to get going against the Commanders? And then not going to Cole Kmet enough. We're not using that brother good enough. He's too talented. And lastly, the Hail Mary should have been taught. Like, situationally, how can you not teach these guys? And how can you not have guys big enough to at least bat the ball back into the field of play? If anything, bat it back into the field of play. Let the clock run out.
Yeah, these are some – I appreciate the call, John. Some of this stuff is like – some of this stuff is basic. You know what I mean? Some of this stuff is stuff we're sitting on our couch saying – and not in hindsight. We're not armchair quarterbacking this thing in 2020 hindsight. Like, I couldn't do it because I wouldn't be able to run fast enough or jump high enough or be tall enough. But I know what guys are supposed to be doing – on a Hail Mary. Like, I don't need, there are things about the NFL and playing in the NFL that I couldn't even start to wrap my head around. You know what I mean? I didn't play the sport at that level. And there are things going on in games that most of us maybe don't even see, much less understand when it comes to being a professional football player. But there's some stuff about playing that game. There's some stuff about coaching that game. We've been talking about a lot of the miscues or things that Matt Eberflus just misses as a head coach that we're all sitting at home knowing to do or that you should be doing. You know what I mean? And the Bears simply don't execute that simple stuff. If this were high-level complicated stuff that they were failing at, I'd be like, that stuff happens. You know what I mean? But the basics, man, the basics of don't poke a guy in the face when there is a referee standing right in front of you. You know what I mean? Don't stand in the back of the end zone celebrating before a play happens. Don't tip the ball behind you. Bat it down in front of you. There's so many things that this Bears team does. Don't call another wide receiver screen on 4th-and-1. Don't hand it to an offensive lineman on 3rd-and-1 at the goal line with the game on the line. Like, this isn't high-level stuff that we all, like, can't comprehend or understand how or why it goes wrong. This is obvious to the naked eye.
As a caller just said a few moments ago, remember with backyard football?
Yeah.
We know what to do.
Remember the game 500? Just a bunch of guys standing in, like, a big group, and you throw the ball up in the air. That's what that was. That was a game of 500, right? That was team 500 right there. I'm going to tip it to you and you're going to catch it. I hate that we're having these conversations in week 8 of the season, but I had a texter asking if I'd want Cliff Kingsbury as head coach from the 219. Would you hire Kingsbury as head coach instead of Eberflus? And what would an offensive-minded head coach do to our top 10 defense? Well, I mean, Kingsbury was the offensive coordinator today. They didn't like tear apart the Bears defense. They were able to move the ball pretty easily up and down the field, but couldn't get in the end zone. Kingsbury would be on my short list.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a head coach this year. He also brings up Ben Johnson, also on my short list, probably at the top of my short list, if and when the Bears are looking for head coaches in the offseason. And I hate that that's a conversation that we're having right now. I really do. I hate that that's a conversation that we're sitting here having in week eight, but it is a legit conversation to be having in week eight when we're talking about some of the systemic stuff that's wrong with this Bears team that happens time and time again that lands at the feet of Matt Eberflus. It's getting to a point where it's becoming pretty obvious who or what the major problem is here.
And being the end after a bye week makes it so much worse.
That's what people keep bringing up, and rightly so, that this performance happened coming out of a bye week. That's, again, one of the five adjectives I've used to describe this Bears loss. Inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. This was, I don't want to say fun, but this was good. This was good for me. I don't know about you guys.
It was cathartic.
This was good for me to come here for 5 hours and get this stuff off my chest. Dan, did you have fun? Is it everything you thought it was?
Oh, it absolutely was. It was fantastic. I wish it had been a victory we were talking about, but this was very cathartic. And you know what? We all realize we're all pretty wise.
Yes, sir.
We're all pretty wise.
That's Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure. Thank you, by the way, for you know, helping out a great cause. And the score and the Cubs getting together to raise all that money for cancer research. And yeah. I don't want to say the dollar amount, but you put down a pretty penny to be in here. And I hope we delivered and it was everything you hoped it would be.
Well, you delivered. And now am I going to give again next year when everybody else to give again next year?
And we will be doing the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon again next year. And there will be opportunities like this on auction as well. So be ready for that. And if you'd like to sit in a co-host chair here on The Score for a show like this or maybe another show, stay tuned for the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon and great opportunities like that on auction for a great, great cause. Our thanks to all of you for listening, contributing via the phones, via the text. Great stuff. You made us feel better. I hope we made you feel better. Thanks to Dan for sitting in on the show. Absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you to Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass. And this is just the start of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Mullion Hall coming up next. Brad Biggs at 6:40. Olin Kreutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. And much, much more throughout the day on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.